two very similar stories about vineyards, but there are some differences. The first one from Isaiah, he's telling about a friend of his who has this vineyard. And the plant, the vine, is the house of Israel. So it's kind of the history of Israel, isn't it? God rescued them from slavery and death in Egypt and brought them into this land flowing with milk and honey, and you know, spent 40 years in the wilderness with them, fashioning them into his own people, making them more and more like his own likeness. And yet, even though he established covenant after covenant with them and sent prophet after prophet, they just rejected them all and they produced sour grapes. Then in the gospel, the vineyard is leased out to tenants. Now remember that Jesus is telling this to the chief priests and the elders of the people. So what he's saying here is, you have been bad shepherds. You are the leaders of Israel. So we're not talking about the people of Israel in the second story. We're talking about the leaders of the people. And they have been bad leaders. And so when God sent the prophets, they killed them. They beat them up. They abused them. And then finally, God sent his son. And of course, the son is Christ. And they took him outside the vineyard. Jesus was crucified outside the city of Jerusalem, took him outside and killed him. Why? Because they wanted his inheritance. So it's hard to describe how evil these tenants are, these leaders of Israel. And the odd part about it is, they don't really seem to know how bad they are. And isn't this always true about power? It doesn't realize how evil it is. And so when Jesus tells them the story and he says to them, what do you suppose that vineyard owner is going to do to those people? And they say, well, he's going to bring them to a wretched death and he's going to bring justice finally. In other words, they're irate at the people in the story, not realizing that the people in the story are them. Because it always takes us, you know, our own sin, our own evil, sometimes hits us by surprise. Someone has to tell us a parable before we can recognize ourselves in the story and say, oh, mea culpa, you know. Now, Matthew is writing this 60 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. So Matthew is not just talking about the elders of Israel, the chief priests, because by the time Matthew's writing this story, that's all past history. And the fall, the Jerusalem has fallen. And so the elders and the chief priests are dissipated. The temple has been destroyed. The city has been destroyed. All of that is gone. So who's Matthew talking about then? Well, maybe he's talking about the Christian community that to whom he's writing. So on the one hand, the story says, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, namely the Jews and the leaders of the Jews, and given over to a new people who will produce the fruit in the proper time. That's the Christians. That's the Gentiles. But again, Matthew's writing to those Christians. So he's saying the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to someone else. So in other words, there's always a danger that we are more evil than we realize. There's always a danger that we are not returning the fruit in the way that God expects us to. Really, the overarching story here is not just about Israel, and it's not just about the early Christian community. It's about the whole history of salvation, in which God gives. And the giving of God, the generosity of God, the love that flows out from God in creation is described in those stories as all the labor, the building of the wall, the building of the tower, the digging out of the trench, the nurturing of the plant. In other words, for all eternity, God has poured out his own life and his own love on his creation in the hope that there would be some acceptance of the gift and some return of the gift. So what is the failure that maybe we are guilty of not accepting God's love and not returning it, not bearing fruit in good works, bearing fruit in the love that we show for Christ and for one another? We're always in danger that we're going to lose what we have by simply not accepting it, by simply not recognizing the beauty and the significance of it, and being humbled into giving ourselves, of being more Christ-like, losing, dying, you know, making ourselves available, making ourselves vulnerable, making ourselves Christ-like.